Welcome to BT IndyCast. For the next hour, we're going to be discussing local and regional bands, solo artists, events coming to the area, and much, much more. BT IndyCast, the area's only resource for your independent music scene.
Hello.
Can you hear me?
Hello.
Yes.
Hot mic.
Here we are. I feel like I'm low in the volume.
Low in the volume.
Yeah. Episode 35, BT IndyCast.
Try it, Tracy, go.
Coming at you on a dreary Thursday night. It is Thursday, isn't it?
Yep.
We got some concert reviews to talk about. There's a... some of the CDs we've been going on about are finally out, and we've been listening to them, so we'll talk about that. There's all kinds of hit and miss concerts coming to the area. Some you might like, some you might not. Lots of bluegrass for some reason.
Yeah. It's that time of year.
It's that time of year.
They're coming out from hibernation.
Yeah, that's the truth. Let's just go ahead and crank out some big loud rock and roll, get this thing started in the right direction. This is an awesome band that from Louisville. This is Greg Martin's son, actually, plays in this band. It's called Tail Dragger. We've played this song a lot, but that doesn't mean we can't keep playing it because it's good like that. This is an awesome slide guy. And this is a song called She's Gotta Wait.
Yes, she does.
Cause you wanna put your
That was Tail Dragger from their Skeptic Tank CD. She Got Away. That was good stuff.
She does. She's got a way to win you over.
That's good music.
I like that piano. That was pretty sweet.
It was probably, just to be honest, that was probably old, what's his name? Reese Winans.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he plays on a lot of their stuff. They must be pretty good friends. Reese, as everybody knows, was Stevie Ray Vaughan's keyboardist and
the original keyboard player for the Allman Brothers Band.
The original keyboard player for the Allman Brothers. That's
until Greggy came around. Dwayne said, "We'll see you, Reese."
When baby Greg came,
that's good stuff. That's
Reese. He's played on like the last four or five Headhunter CDs, ain't he?
Yeah, they're good buddies. He played on the Mighty Jeremiah's and Rufus Huff too, I believe.
Yeah.
Which I don't is know what side he does. Projects.
What's he doing in the meantime? Session?
I don't know. I went to his website the other day, and he had a new CD out. I listened to it, and it was horrible. So it was like mellow, new age stuff.
Yeah. Speaking of big-time keyboard players playing in sessions, Chuck LaValle is playing like on all these country artists' CDs now.
Really?
Like Miranda Lambert, Little Big Town.
Because I like country going towards Southern Rock.
Lady Antebellum, he's on there. Yeah, he's done. I mean, think of the money he's making just doing sessions that stuff. Easy money.
He's a Southern keyboard player.
Yeah. And for, I was going to say, for people who don't know, who is
Chuck
LaValle?
Gentry. He's on Montgomery Gentry's last three.
Who did Chuck LaValle play on that someone might know?
He's been on the Rolling Stones for the last 25 years.
Really?
And he was in the Allman Brothers in the 70s.
With
Clapton for a while too. Mm-hmm. I mean, Unplugged DVD he's on.
Played with Mule for a stint.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool. So, Joe, you went to a concert this weekend or whenever it was. I don't know when it was.
Sunday night. That would be, I guess, the weekend still, wouldn't it?
Yep. That's the weekend.
Saw Jerry Douglas Band.
Jerry Douglas Band. Where'd you see them at?
Newport at the Southgate House. And good music, but the sound system was pretty bad.
Oh, that ruins the whole vibe, doesn't it?
Yeah. It was packed, though.
Last time we saw them, had great sound.
Kentucky Theater, Lexington.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah?
He always has the best musicians. The acoustic guitar player was really good. Guthrie Trapp? Yeah.
Yeah,
no. Very good. Good fiddle player. The fiddle player sang some.
Did he have a drummer?
No.
Did they get in there and jam some, or was it pretty mellow?
It was mellow for the most part, but they had three or four songs. It was pretty jamming, pretty deep.
Well, that's cool.
Did he sing?
No. Well, he didn't Sunday night.
Yeah.
The fiddle player sang like three songs, and they did an old Hank Williams Sr. song. And it was spooky. It was really nice.
That's cool. I like, he is world famous, right? I mean, it's not like he's an unknown.
He is the Dobro. When you say Dobro, everybody thinks Jerry Douglas.
Did he, that was a stupid question. I started to say, did he play a lot of Dobro?
He actually plugged in, played direct.
Did he have an amp? Or was it just lined in?
Lined in.
Wow.
I remember last time we saw
him. Probably got a $4,000 pickup in that thing.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. He played two different Dobros, and they looked just alike.
The black ones?
No, nope, they were maroon.
Really?
Yeah.
Remember when we saw him, he had that one that, you know, it was a sunburst looking, it was black, and he plugged one in, had one that was mic'd.
I remember the mic, because we couldn't figure out what kind of microphone that was and how good it sounded.
He when he was at the Mac that one time, he preferred a 421 Sennheiser.
A 421 on a Dobro.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, that's cool.
He said, I said, what kind of mic would you like, Mr. Douglas? I probably didn't say it like that. And he was like, you got any 421s?
Man, a 421 is just a great, overall mic. I see them on horns, and of course, you know, toms. They're like synonymous with toms. And
so they'd cut them in half. It'd be great, wouldn't they?
They're so huge. Yeah, they're monster mics. But you see them a lot with horns, and that's the first I've heard with acoustic instruments, but I'm sure it sounds good.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
That's what he liked.
Those are Sennheiser, right?
Yeah.
Sennheiser 421s. They're about $400 a piece, so if you're going to buy some for drums, I mean, you're out $1,500. And that's what you got to do, though, I guess. I like to have a few 421s. The Mac sure has good house mics, or they used to, didn't they? I mean, they had all the basic standard ones. They had beta stuff, and then they had the 421s, and then those 980s or 9, whatever those.
414.
They had the 414s.
460s.
Yeah.
3 460s.
Yeah, they had good. They still do have a good collection of mics. And pretty well, anybody that comes in, you know, they can suit them up. That's kind of neat. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So overall, what would you give that concert? I mean, are you glad you went, even though the PA sucked, or wish you know, or did it really put a damper on the whole thing? It kills me.
It was one of those. I was telling Brett, it was one of those concerts that I didn't realize how good it was till it was over, because I was aggravated with the sound system.
Right.
But it, I mean, yeah, it was good. I'm glad I went. It was something to do, something different.
Right. How is the Southgate? So you say you were up in the balcony?
Yeah.
How many does that hold?
I'd say close to 1,000.
Well, that's pretty cool.
But it's just a weird setup.
Right.
It was packed though. We got there 30 minutes after the doors opened. Couldn't get one of those tables down low. We had to go up in the balcony and just regular seats.
Boy, your tails were dragging, weren't you?
God. That's pretty good. I don't know. I like Jerry Douglas' stuff, but it's hard for me to go see him. I don't know why. I probably just need to do it. If he plays the Mac again, I'll probably go check him out.
Forget that.
The musicians he always has with him just makes it that much better too.
Yeah, that's true. It's always if he brings the right people.
That one year Rigsby lucked out getting Tony Rice and Jerry Douglas on one fell swoop.
It's not, you know, for anybody that don't really know, they didn't play any bluegrass type music. It's acoustic, jazzy stuff, you know, they branch out in some stuff. I mean, it's dobro music.
It's like new agey.
Yeah.
Eclectic. It's everything.
Yeah.
I mean, the first three songs is just, that he just started out first three songs, the instrumentals that he wrote, and they sounded all different. But you can tell he wrote them.
Yeah.
And some real jazzy feel to them. And
that's cool. So it's very chilled out, but kind of alternative-ish.
Yeah.
I know on Pandora, when I put in Daryl Scott, I get some Jerry Douglas. And I thought that, on one hand, that's kind of weird, but it really isn't. They kind of fit.
Yeah.
They got the same vibe.
Yeah.
They roll him in that folk category.
Yeah. Speaking of bluegrassy stuff and the Mountain Arts Center, Oak Crow Medicine Show is going to be there at the Mac on the 28th. Oh, that'd be a good show if somebody wants to check those guys out. That's like hippie grass or something, ain't it?
Yeah.
Is that what people call it?
They're from New York.
Think about running over there.
That'd be kind of neat to check them out. They were at the expo a couple years ago, weren't they?
Yeah.
With Nickel Creek or something?
Mm-hmm.
And then there's more bluegrass at the Mac. Don Rigsby's big homecoming will be there. I don't know what the date is. That's actually
March something.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, March 7th. And then, let's see, who else is coming to the Mac? Doyle Lawson and Quicksilver. And Melvin Goins. Wow, it's like bluegrass central down there, isn't it?
It usually is from like January to April.
Really? Mm-hmm. That's when they get out, huh?
That's the bluegrass.
And then Michael Combs, that's like a...
Southern Gospel.
Yeah, Southern Gospel. Michael Combs and the Barrett family are going to be down there.
Brother Homer.
But
Brother Homer and his family.
Yeah, let's see. Let's go ahead and... Who else is going to be around? Derek Trucks is going to be at Bogart's in February. And that's going to be the highlight of February, if you ask me.
We're going to be there, aren't we?
Oh, I'm going. Yeah.
We'll do a show live from there.
That'd be neat, wouldn't it?
It's on Thursday.
It is. It's Thursday the 12th.
Wow. I definitely would like to go check that out. Air Supply is going to be in Louisville.
Where?
Why don't you go see that and tell us how it is?
Hey, man, Air Supply was awesome back in the day. Me and Kenny would go and love it. The Louisville Palace.
Really?
Yeah. Kelly Ritchie Band is going to be at Southgate on the 31st. She Yeah. A bunch of, I was just scrolling through these people here. I've never heard of anybody, hardly. The Disco Biscuits are going to be at the headliners.
They're big on the jam scene.
Yeah.
Have you got into them any? Can you,
Disco Biscuits? No.
Yeah,
they're pretty wild.
Yeah,
I haven't listened to them.
I can't stay focused on them.
Groovatron is going to be at the Bluegrass Brewing Company, which is an awesome band if anybody likes kind of progressive.
We've
jam
played
band.
Them on yeah. here. Ain't
yeah,
we?
Yeah, yeah. They're going to be at the Bluegrass Brewing Company in Louisville, and they're a great band if you are checking that kind of stuff out. That's on the 23rd. That's just a few days from now. Here's a band that Bobby Bridgman on the Country Cast plays a lot, and they absolutely blew me away. When I heard them, I was like, is this, you know, these are local country guys, and it's Tabitha and Southern Fried. And their CD sounds like huge budget, and it sounds like anything you'd hear on country radio. So if you're into that, if you're into Sugarland and that kind of thing, they're going to be playing that pure country in Paducah. I recommend you go see them. It's pretty neat when you hear a local or you hear an indie CD, and it's the production's phenomenal. And I mean, that's makes me feel good. What about you all?
Makes me feel real good too.
Makes me feel really, really good.
You guys, come on. Man, I didn't think we was going to get the show started today because of me tearing the studio completely apart. For those of you that could care at all, we're totally upgrading 2-5 Studios, and we've actually pushed the technology a little too far or something, because we bought new equipment, new computers, and nothing's working. I mean, they haven't developed the drivers and stuff for it yet. So I rigged up some things so we can get going.
That's called being ahead of the curve.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. And I've been talking to Focusrite and trying to get things going, and hopefully we'll get things rocking. But, yeah, Brett and Joe came in today, and I'm right in the middle of every bit of it. Computer's crashing, hooking up cables. And
I'm glad we could be here to help out, though. You know?
Yeah, you could help out, all right. You just
almost strained my arm.
We've been doing this show. Yeah, here I am plugging in cables and looking for stuff. And
I had to get my stand adjusted.
Hey, here's somebody, Tommy Emmanuel. He is one of the best flat pickers I've ever heard in my entire life, and he's going to be at the Hardin County Performing Arts Center, Elizabethtown or Elizabethton, Kentucky. February the 5th, and I would actually love to go see that. I bet tickets are $50.
I've heard that name.
He's awesome. Did I play you guys the YouTube video of a guy playing the melody and the bass line? And
yeah, didn't we talk about that? The guy playing two different...
I don't remember. I think
then we got talking about Les Paul and
yo, that's something else. Different. But this guy, he didn't play two different songs, but he played Beatles medley, and he played the melody of the song and the chords and the bass line, everything on one acoustic. It's unbelievable. He does that stuff a lot, and it's well worth checking out. And he's going to be, like I said, the Hardin Performing Arts. Anybody else coming around, guys?
I'm trying to think. I looked the other day.
Well, of course, Toby Keith and Jack Ingram's going to be at the Expo, and Buck Cherry.
Avenged Sevenfold, is that who it is?
Yeah, they're going to be there in February, the end of February. But I don't think much else is going on. Clutch, which is a crazy, they call them Stoner Rock. They're going to be at Headliners in Louisville. That would be a trip and a half.
Wasn't there some things coming up in Louisville? It seemed like I saw that.
Alvin Youngblood Hart is going to be at Headliners.
Oh, that's some deep bluesy stuff.
Yeah. That's weird. They're going to be with... Yeah, they're with Sunvolt, which is an awesome band, too.
Yeah, Sunvolt's good.
That's going to be pretty good. I believe that's about it, boys, for who's coming to the area, unless you can think of someone else.
That's the only thing I've heard.
Well, let's talk about... Well, let's play some music before we talk about anything. Let's play some kind of crazy music. I don't know about crazy, but remember the band Stepping Stone we played a few things for or from?
Yeah.
Very cool stuff, kind of Allman Brothers-y. And I pulled some of their songs out, and we're going to play a couple tunes from them. This is a great song. This is called These guys are from Madison, Kentucky, and
Madisonville.
Oh, Madisonville. This is called "Right Where We Belong."
Let faith lead me home, even when I can't see the road I'm traveling on. I know I will never be anywhere I'm not supposed to be. So let faith lead me. Travel down.
Stepping Stone, Right Where I Belong. Actually, I said we belong, but It was I Belong.
Hey, we all belong there.
They're good stuff. That's a good band. I wish to goodness they were closer. I'd sure go check them out. God, I heard a door open and shut. Kind of scared me. Did you guys hear that?
No.
I think it was an apparatus.
Can you guys hear this?
What are you opening there, buddy?
Opening big slits over there.
It sounds like that one drive-by trucker song.
You can hear crazy stuff in the background, drive-by truckers music.
Hell no, I ain't happy.
Oh, goodness. Well, let's talk about the big thing. Well, it's not like that's the most important thing of the today's show, but we finally got the Derek Truck CD, and as anybody who's listened to the show more than twice knows, we only talk about three things: Mule, Trucks, and Allman Brothers.
We try to branch out.
We do every now and then. I'm kidding.
We try.
Yeah. But speaking of Derek Trucks, the new CD, what was the name of it?
Already Free.
Already Free was released.
It's got his picture of it on the front.
We're debating whether that's his picture on the front or not.
Derek, if you're listening out there,
yeah,
call us.
I don't know if it is or not, but I mean, I don't know.
Resembles him.
I don't think it looks like him, but why would it be someone else? So, I don't know. What if it's his brother?
No, his brother don't look like that.
Oh, really? Well, it was out this week. We all bought it. I bought the CD.
I bought the vinyl.
He bought the vinyl, and Brett downloaded it.
Yeah, I got to get the real
deal.
So
we all three did something different.
I never pre-order them, and then I'm like, oh, I want it, so I go download it.
Yeah,
I pre-ordered the crap out of that thing.
The pre-order was like up until last Friday, or two Fridays ago, at like 12 o'clock, at 11:30, I got on there and ordered the album.
Yeah, I tried to pre-order it on Saturday before it came out.
And I didn't pay the $12 to have it on the day that it, have it on my doorstep the day it was out, but I paid like the medium price, and it got there the next day, so not bad at all.
I didn't pay any extra, and it got there the next day.
Yeah.
Whoa, LP here, $24.95. It was cheaper if you bought it, pre-ordered it, wasn't it?
It was $21,
Oh, yeah, well, that's a little cheaper. Yeah. Here's the thing. I went to go to their website to buy it because I thought, I was being a little naive, thinking maybe they would get more money if I bought it on their website. And it was $15.99. So I go to Amazon.com and I got it for $11.99.
Yeah.
So sorry about that. But I was looking, their site is controlled by Sony
Music Today.
Yeah. So they're not making any more if I buy it off of their site. So everybody go to Amazon, man. You can't beat that.
Yeah, that's right.
I could have downloaded it too for $8.99.
God.
But I got the CD. I'm so glad I got the CD, and I wish everybody. I hope some format will live to where people can get, don't give me a stupid PDF file and say, here's the liner notes. You know what I mean? I hate downloading an album because that you get the Do Derek Truck CD. It's opens up three, it's three little doors. It's got pictures of them in the studio, his kids.
The album, it's two albums. So you got the big double opening up, all kinds of cool pictures.
Probably the same setup inside, but a lot bigger pictures. And pictures of them building the studio. I love the picture of the singer singing this song. And then at the bottom of at his feet, there's a Shure mic box just opened up. They just got the mic and put it in,
I don't think I've seen that.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's a Shure, one of those KSM mics. They're killer mics. But anyway, it was well worth getting the CD so you could just look at all that. And tons of reading, too.
The whole vibe on that project was just like, real family oriented, wasn't it? Real easy, it was like
kids in the studio, and
it
that
was
whole
like
thing.
Back in the just back home in the early 70s vibe feel. It's got that retro feel, and everybody play, all kinds of different musicians play on it, and it's still just called the Derek Trucks Band.
Yeah, and it was they had like a theme through the whole thing, and it was kind of like freedom, and it was very gospel-y sounding.
Oh yeah,
all the lyrics were. The production, this is their first outing with Derek's home studio that he built. And I love the production. Obviously, I feel like overall it wasn't major label quality, But it was awesome quality, though. It's hard for me to, I don't want to say it like it sounds cheap, but maybe it sounds like they didn't have a big time LA producer or something. I don't know.
They, well, and
he produced it.
Yeah.
Derek, yeah. I think well, Derek he produced and, like five songs on it.
And then Doyle Bramhall, we were speaking about Doyle the other day, not hearing nothing new from him.
Yeah.
And he's on this album.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he sang two songs, and then I don't know how many he produced. But,
I think it said like three or four.
But I loved the mix, the drums, especially the love the snare. The keyboards were real roomy. You could tell there was hardwood. The whole studio was hardwood floor, and
mm-hmm.
and the keyboards was real roomy sounding. The drums were roomy. The guitar was cleaner than it usually is and open sounding. I mean, I don't know, you know, if they went for this or they were just maxed out with the gear they had, but I mean, it has a great vibe, don't you guys think?
I think they're going for it because that's Derek.
Yeah.
He's all about the vibe, and he's open to all kinds of things. We know that.
Yeah, and it was there, you know, I give it a strong out of Derek Trucks albums, this is my favorite one since Joyful Noise. For sure. And you know, there's a couple, you know, I'm sorry, but I don't need to hear Susan Tedeschi sing a song, you know what I mean? Yeah. I know they're married, but I didn't like that. Was the low point of the CD.
Yeah,
but
that one don't stick out of my mind.
Yeah. The track number two, Something to Make Me Happy, wants to be my favorite right off the bat, just because it's got that double time and very funky groove, you know. But they were on Conan. He was on Conan O'Brien too, wasn't he, Brett?
Yeah,
I missed it.
It was pretty. It was a cool performance. It was kind of weird. They played the single, I guess, Down in the Flood, and he had some weird guitar with a lot of distortion on it for the half the song, and then a tech guy comes out and switches guitars, and he plays the SG, plays lead on the SG.
Weird. Some weird tuning or something. Yeah, that one guitar capoed up, and then the SG come out, and it wasn't capoed up.
Yeah, it was strange. But that was released this week. It's 12 tracks, and it's got a lot of good songs. I mean, out of 12 songs, I like 10 of them. I mean, you know, and out of those 10, I love probably 6 or 7 of them. So nowadays, that's pretty good, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I give it a strong rating. I think, Joe, you're going to try to get this whole CD reviewed and talk about it and get it on the website, aren't you, buddy?
Yes,
go ahead and put you on the spot there.
Actually, I'm thinking about going home tonight and laying down and putting the headphones on and delving into it.
Oh, that'd
just
be good.
Just laying in the amps.
Just let the spirit take over, buddy.
Oh, yeah. I'll be vibing.
That'll be good.
My mind will be all the way down there in Jacksonville in the studio, right in it.
Yeah, so we're going to get a review of Already Free out there, and everybody needs to go buy it. Keep good music kicking. You won't hear it on the radio, unfortunately, but it's good stuff. It sounds like a soundtrack for a killer 70s movie, you know, or something.
Superfly
like
or something.
Well, no, not like Southern 70s, you know, like Buford Pusser kind of stuff, you know. Everybody knows who Buford Pusser is. Come on. Well, let's stay in that vein, and North Mississippi is coming out with a DVD, right?
Retrospective.
It's DVD and two live CDs of unreleased stuff from over 12 years.
Now, what to me, when I hear retrospective, I mean, doesn't that just say we're packing it in, or do you think no?
No.
No. They've probably been so out just wide open so long and jamming so long, they said, man, look at all the stuff we've done. We need to.
I mean, it's two CDs of stuff unreleased live from 12 years they've been playing and jamming.
Because they've had a, you know, you don't know these people, but they've had a weird kind of career. They just kind of John it around, and they'll be the house band for somebody, and they'll play for John Hyatt, and then they're playing for this bunch. And here recently, they really, you know, started doing some really cool stuff. I don't know. And then all of a sudden, boom, they've been around for 10 years, and I guess they're just trying to back up and look at everything.
Yeah, they've had a lot of releases Just various stuff. Sometimes not good stuff. Sometimes quality's bad.
Yeah,
kind of a hodgepodge. You know.
I wish you can really, really tell the development of their skills from the first album to this one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What was the last one, Hernando?
Yeah.
Man, that was awesome.
They got, you know, from the first one is the first one is, I mean, all their signature stuff. But you could tell Luther just sounded like he just started playing. He had really raw talent, but just hadn't really figured it out yet, wasn't polished. Yeah. And that way with the whole band. And then they got in the middle. Sounds like they kind of got a producer, and they started doing some, you know, really. Yeah, a
couple of those CDs there in the middle are just really just way overproduced.
The Watermelon and Polaris are just produced to death, and they're all, it's not very soulful stuff. And then this last one they come out with is phenomenal. And I wish they'd go back and recut that first album and play it like they're playing now. I mean,
yeah, Hernando is awesome. That's an album that, you know, and I've quit listening to that, and I need to because it is.
Yeah, I have too.
It is phenomenal. It's got it, but the funny thing is, and I don't know how what bands do this, and if anybody listening has no idea what we're talking about with North Mississippi, go check them out. Their website is too hard for me to tell you, but just Google North Mississippi All-Stars and go listen to their stuff. It's a blues-based three-piece band that's phenomenal. But anyway, what I was going to say, that last album, Hernando, had awesome songs and horrible songs.
Yeah, there's probably two on there that I absolutely hate, that stupid.
Oh, God, his brother singing.
You know, that. I don't even know.
And that one's like, that boogie kind of.
Boogie. Yeah. Mizzip or something.
God, that was horrible.
That's terrible.
It's like they were like, what else are we going to do? Well, we better let him play on this. We've been putting him off for three albums.
But we did. We'd heard about him and thought, well, who the crap's that?
Oh, yeah.
We went down and saw him down in
Winston-Salem.
Ziggy's?
Or,
yeah.
Millennium Center.
Millennium. And they just threw down. I mean, they were playing Peavey stuff, and it was kind of weird.
We went in there not expecting it. I mean, we expected to be good. And this guy was sitting out there on the steps. Was like, man, this is the second best band I know of besides Government Mule. You're going to be blown away, all this stuff. And we were like, oh, okay, yeah, okay, whatever.
That is cool, though.
And then we went in there, and they started out just – They bounced
from song to song. I mean, it's right segued right into this. Just blew. I mean, you know how you'll have that band every now and then just eat your face.
Yeah,
and they did.
That's cool.
Had the drummer sitting there, had a cigarette hanging out of his mouth, playing keyboard with one hand, and drumming with his feet in the other hand. It was funny.
That's good. I've seen them a few times. We saw them in Lexington, and they were good.
It was us three, wasn't it?
Yeah. And we saw them open up for Derek Trucks, and I'd rather seen them actually that night than Derek Trucks had a great opening of 20 minutes, but then it was, you know, once again, I hate to say it, but just too much Tedeschi. But the North Mississippi's album, it's actually on their website, it says it's out right now. Do It Like We Used to Do.
Mm-hmm.
Available now. Two CDs, one DVD package, two discs of music that highlights the band's live performances over the first 12 years, and a full-length documentary DVD on the history of the band.
So that'd be cool.
There's a trailer on that DVD they released last year. What's that called?
Live. Like a single wide?
The live DVD they released a year and a half ago. Two years ago.
Yeah.
There, on the extra footage is a trailer of this. It's like a tease of this Do It Like We Used to Do.
You know what? It's just $19, too, man.
I know. That's awesome.
Double CD and a DVD for $19. It's got 27 tracks. So, well worth it. We need to be buying that and talking about that next week or the next after that, don't we?
I'm going to try to find it. I think I'm going to go to Lexington this weekend and try to find it somewhere.
That would be good. That's pretty good. Let's see. Speaking of showing up and with a band and not ever knowing anything about them and being blown away, there's a band called Humphreys McGee that I saw open up for Government Mule, and we'd never heard of them, and they absolutely blew me away, and now I've become a crazy Humphreys McGee fan.
That's when me and Joe were back at the White Castle booth waiting on the opening act to get done.
The funniest thing ever was Tony told me this. I didn't see this between you all talking. Tony said that he was turning to you, Brett, and getting ready to say something about the band, and that was right when you said, "When's this crap going on stage?"
I was getting ready to turn to you, say, "Man, this is blowing my mind," and you went, and that's what you said, "When's this crap going to be over?" And so I just turned back around, didn't say a word.
Yeah, I mean, you walked up to the White Castle booth, didn't we? And we don't even like White Castle.
It come to find out, it was a double headliner. We're like, get off the stage.
Well, you diehard Mule fans coming, wanting Mule, never hearing of Humphreys McGee, and then you get just your mind is blown away. You know, I mean, there's so many notes and so many things going on.
You know,
You're wanting, tell me who's that riding, and they're like, blah, 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 blah.
Listen, I hear it on XM every now and then. And I like a few of their songs.
Right.
It's just, you know, they. Just like with anything else, any other band, there's certain things I don't like. It's like they're playing, and they're like, "Oh crap, this is too easy. We got to do something crazy."
Yeah, and we got to take a detour of just god awful proportions. That's true. They are probably one of the most technical jam bands out there right now. Yeah. They're up there with. I mean, they have surpassed Yes and Rush and all that far as technicality. I mean, they are. It's ridiculous.
I mean, the guitar player would be doing a killer lead, good tone, good licks, just tasty, and then goes, just starts playing all these scales, goes nuts.
Yeah, they'll go from a Hendrix tune and just be tearing you apart, and then they go straight into some weird jazz thing, and then they go off into keyboard stuff for 5 minutes.
Yeah. But phenomenal musicians. I mean,
every one of them. Percussion. Their percussion guy looks like David Duchovny. I think that's weird. But anyway.
And another thing I'll just say, one more thing I don't like is the droning vocals. That's like that Grateful Dead vocals.
Everybody the same.
Everybody sings the same line. There's no harmony. They just.
Yeah. Well, you'll be glad to know that Mantis, their new CD, doesn't have any of that kind of vocals. That's one of the things me and Tabor was talking about. The vocals are really good on here.
Hmm.
You know, it's a studio album of a live band, though. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's hard to capture. I would hate to try to do a studio album if I was, you know, that kind of band. But they pull it off. And Mantis, it was released this week. I just got it. And it's really, I have to say, you know, I give it an A- or a B+ or something. It's really good. It flows good. But at the end, you know, I don't know how many tracks there is, but at the end of it, you know, it goes off. It goes off like they let the keyboard player produce the last three songs or something. You know what I mean?
The old guy. They're all 25, and he looks like he's 45.
He does. They all went to college, Gary. He just lost his hair early, man. That's just the price you pay.
What's the guitarist? Senegar? What's his last name?
Oh, yeah, I don't know.
Oh,
I should know.
Diehard fan.
Well, I'm a fan of the music behind. Brendan Bayless
that's
the guitar.
Who I'm thinking of.
He plays guitar and vocals. Jake Kenninger plays guitar and keyboards and vocals. It says. Andy Farag percussion. Chris Meyer drums and Ryan Stasic bass. I think he's the odd man out. He looks like he's still at a teak party or something in college.
Yeah, he's got his cut off shorts on. His bass rig's got Notre Dame painted on the front of it.
Yeah. But if you're into progressive stuff, you know, anything from Kansas to to Dream Theater, really. But you like jam band hippie kind of stuff too. I mean, Humphreys McGee is right up there. They're, you know, Groovitron is kind of like them. These guys are getting huge though, man. They're selling out. They're doing a huge tour. And anyway, I bought the CD. It flows really good. Like I said, up until the end, you know, the first 10 tracks are awesome. And then it just goes off into La La Land, keyboard world of some, I don't know. It's just weird. But everybody should check that out. I bought the record for that. So we're getting really retro here, aren't we, Joe? We're buying the albums and bought Derek Trucks's.
That just aided in the feel and the vibing of that Derek Trucks band because it was an album. And I would get, you know, you'd hear the needle go off the track and then it'd go off. You get up and turn it over. It was just that feeling. The vinyl. Mm.
Yeah, it's good.
Warm sounding, you know.
Well, they had something really, and I'll just, because I've already talk to you guys' faces off about it, but I'll just go real fast what I bought. There was a collector's edition thing for this new Mantis release, and you got a really cool box, and it kind of just said that, you know, they don't really know what they're going to throw in it. But anyway, I bought the double album, and it came with a CD, came with a DVD of unreleased live footage and that kind of thing, came with autographs and a set list and a string and picks and even a recipe from the drummer's mother. And everything put together was like $50. And they were like selling, they were $50 and they were selling either 500 or 1,000 of them. And so I thought, you know what, I've never really bought one of these big things like that. I'm going to go ahead and do it. And they, can you believe those suckers sold out in about 3 days? I mean, that's pretty cool. I mean, you know, a lot of people bought those. I think it was 1,000 of them. But I got it in. Oh, and it came with a poster and all that. So, of course, Tabor took all the,
You got the poster over your bed in your room.
Oh, yeah, in my room. No, Tabor does. But
sure.
It was you know, it's a good, it was good. Sonically, it's awesome sounding. I mean, it's major budget. And I don't know how they pull that off. Because I told Brett the other day, some of their stuff sounds like, I mean, it's low budget. Like they, you know, just went to the local whatever. They went to a tube fight. No, come on. Whoa, I slammed myself. How can I do that? But anyway, Unfreeze McGee, Mantis, and Derek Trucks already free. Both purchases we need to, everybody needs to go purchase. Anything else to be getting released this week that we have not talked about?
I don't think so.
I've not noticed anything.
All the good stuff. Well, North Mississippi, everybody needs to go buy that, too.
I think Lil Wayne's got a new one coming out.
Oh, God. Lil Wayne.
Lil.
My bad. Lil. Daryl Scott is coming to the area at some point. I'm sure we'll be talking about that for a long time until it's going to be in May.
And then we drive by truckers is what? April.
Oh, drive by in April. That'll
at
be
the Dane.
Oh my God!
No, it's in February.
Oh, it's February. That's right. Remember, nobody could go.
Yeah, what was going on? Miners,
Buck Cherry.
Oh, that's horrible.
That's a shot in the
that
heart.
That is horrible. At the Dame. I mean, which I've not seen the new Dame, but I mean, it can't be much bigger.
Yeah,
I don't
it
think
is.
It's. Oh, is it?
Really?
It's that deal across the street from it, ain't it? A1A?
Yeah, it's in the old A1A, but I don't really remember how big that is. I didn't know.
I don't know either. Anything coming to the Summit City? I haven't heard anything about that.
I haven't heard nothing
that.
About Summit City.
Yeah, let's look at their site real fast. Big and Rich and Pofo, Explicit, The Big Red Bug Band, Anton Mink, Sons of Roswell, Chris Jansen, Jason Isbell in the 400 unit.
They were there the other night.
Oh, you know what? Yeah, they are. They were. I was reading the calendar backwards. But, you know, go listen to these bands and see if you know, if it's something you want to check out, then you can jump over there to Whitesburg. That's what's cool about it, being that close. You know, even if it's a band, you're like, oh, okay, I'll check them out. It's just a little ride over there. Know what I mean?
Get you some good coffee.
Yeah, let's play another song. We haven't played. We're about out of time. We're going to get this is an indie band from Indiana. Actually, Louisville or Indiana, somewhere through there. I used to play music with these guys
across
a lot.
Across
the river, just across the river.
Same difference.
It's called The Elms. They actually did a little jaunt open up for Shooter Jennings the other day, which I thought was kind of neat, which they're not a Shooter Jennings style band, so I don't know how that went over. But this is off of one of their CDs. It's called All the While Having Fun. This is kind of a poppy version of Tom Petty, you know, that kind of thing. But it's indie and it's local, so it's good stuff. Here you go, it's The Elms. That was Elms All the While Having Fun. Good little happy tune there. It makes me think of summertime. Oh, feedback. Come on now, Elms. Well, guys, I think we're about out of time, and we've knocked this sucker in the head. If you want to listen to more episodes of the BT IndyCast, go to btmediagroup.com and check it out there. You can listen to all 35 episodes. Also there, if you're a big country music fan, you can click on the BT CountryCast link and go check out Bobby Bridgman and all the stuff she's doing. She's getting some cool interviews lined up and going to be doing some new things in the country cast, so go check that out. And let's see, if you want to send Joe an email, it's just send it to, no, that'd be awesome if I just gave your email address. And
go for it.
I don't know what it is, but if you want to send an email, if you want to send a song or you have a recommendation of a song or a band we need to check out, please send it to us and let us know. Send it to tubefi, T-U-B-E-F-I @gmail.com. And we will check it out, and if it's good, we will play it. I don't guarantee, but we will check it out.
You just have to be good.
That's it. Anything else, fellas?
Brett, are you with us?
Brett's laying in the floor.
I believe it's about it.
You got to get that mic over there toward you, buddy. Well, this is episode 35. Finished. Thanks, everyone, for hanging out and checking out. And we hope to have episode 36 next week. We'll see you guys later.
Buckets.